Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Stomach face. Lion face. All right.
I might have to go get some more pizza, Ron.
Oh, you're going to have to get a pizza right now?
Yeah.
Nah, dude.
Can I get the pizza, Ron?
Wait until you drive home, dude.
I know, huh? Then I can go home and eat three more pieces. And wake up in the morning and have to
just take, feel like crap.
Take a shit twice before going to work.
Hell yeah. Damn. Liberty, welcome to the Coaster Podcast, episode 415. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
What is up, my dudes?
Things are going very well.
Are they?
Yeah.
Like globally?
No. Never has been the case. Well, I mean, that's not true. Globally, it's fine. And the human sphere, probably not so good.
The earth will survive us.
The earth, likely. Like George Carlin said, the earth will be fine. We won't. Right? The earth was bombarded by asteroids and comets for 300,000 years. It will be fine. We won't be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So... But besides that, yeah, I mean, things are going good. You got the fucking, the Palestine thing going on.
Oh, that's great stuff.
Yeah.
Although I will say, the university students are coming out in fucking full force last couple few weeks, man.
Author and Punisher too.
Oh, yeah. Well, he is like an activist.
Yeah. I don't know. He's a professor there, I think, or something. He teaches.
He went to UCSD. Yeah.
He went to UCSD, dude.
UCSD, dude.
He's an engineer, dude.
Oh, you could tell.
Yeah, definitely. You could tell because he builds machines, dude.
Ah.
He builds machines that do the same thing that a keyboard could.
Right, but like more complicated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's for it's performance art. But how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
What's going on with you?
Not much.
That's it?
I have nothing to report.
Come on, man. Open up to us.
No.
How are the kids?
They're good.
You're being a weird cop right now.
It's an interrogation.
It's an interrogation. How about you, dude? How about you doing? Anything going on with you?
Nothing. No, still looking for a second night job. And then the apartment that we had lined up, our landlord who...
Arnar.
Yeah, he sold the property.
Like
3 days after, I was like, yeah, dude, it's going to work out, you know. And then he was like, oh, I got this other one. But I'm like, bro, that's like twice as expensive. Like, I can't. But it's whatever. We're back to square one, but no big deal.
Dude, yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, but it's all good.
Well, I'm looking forward. Sophia and I are looking forward
mm-hmm.
to... we're going to go to New Mexico the first week of June. We're going to go get a little cabin that's not too far from Carlsbad Caverns.
Uh-huh.
Not cavern, cabin, different things. I got to speak. I got to enunciate.
Mm-hmm.
Airbnb is dope. You can I rented a cabin for 5 days for something, a nominal fee, which is much better than a hotel would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Have you heard of it, guys? Airbnb?
Airbnb.
Heard of this thing? Airbnb?
Check it out. If you haven't seen the film...
Barbarian.
So we're excited about that. But we're going to go to Carlsbad Caverns, which I went to as a young kid.
You guys are going to go to Taos?
Yeah. And I want to see the fucking the Trinity area.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And they have this... Carlsbad Caverns has this part, too, where all these bats come out because at dusk, which is dope. And also, we're going to go to fucking Roswell.
That is dope.
Which is fun.
You know? Yeah. That's sick.
So we're looking forward to that. And I forgot to mention, I'm super fucking hyped in August to go see this Deftones Mars Volta Viagra Boys show. I fucking got tickets the day before they sold out. Which is dope. And like you said, famously, the great thing about this show is you can leave before the closer.
Exactly.
System of a Down. I respect you. I won't be staying.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. You beat all the traffic and everything.
Yep, that's what I did.
I saw, it was like Alice in Chains and Korn, and then I just saw Alice in Chains and then left like two songs into Korn. I was like, it's okay.
Were they fucking dope, though?
Yeah, they're fine. I really wanted to beat traffic, and I had crappy lawn tickets.
I think I feel better about Korn now than I did. Korn has grown in my mind. It for the last 20 years, it's like been a no go. But the last 4 years, it came back. It's like Korn is okay again. I don't know, you know.
Well, it's because you've gone the other way with Limp Bizkit too.
What do you mean I've gone the other way?
Like you're saying you're in the same boat. Like you in high school, it was okay to listen to Limp Bizkit, but then the last 20 years, it's been awful, and now it's okay again.
No. But they're still awful. Like they're still really bad.
Well, yeah. Same with Korn.
Korn is fucking much better than Limp Bizkit.
Says you.
Literally much. Literally. Like, objectively better. But the drummer's not better
than John Otto. They got Wes Borland, bro. You know
what? Never mind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's fucked up. I don't even want to, yeah, that's true. There's better musicians than Limp Bizkit. They just have the most fucking Down syndrome vocalist of all time.
But you like him now.
Yeah. Kind of... You know, what else is going on?
Most of Limp Bizkit has managed to stay alive.
Yeah,
he's at Coachella, I think, right? Yeah,
Durst.
Yeah,
did you see Will Smith was at Coachella?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, I heard about that. Who's Men in Black? I think.
Speaking of which,
can you believe? Is that like a fucking joke?
did you? Are you familiar with Willow's musical career?
Yeah, I listen to some.
She's pretty good.
Korn is pretty good.
I don't want anything to do with it.
The new album, she's got a new album that dropped today, in fact, and it is pretty good.
I like that you said that.
She's got a song with St. Vincent, which I love St. Vincent.
God damn it.
What?
That's good. That's a good sign.
It's a great song. It's
St. Vincent is on tour with another performer named Earth Eater. Who is fantastic.
Well, in any case, yes. I've listened to the album twice today. Highly recommended.
Okay. You're talking about Will Smith's...
Daughter.
Yeah.
Imagine the fucking, like, autistic rage that the son is having.
Because she's talented?
Yeah. Because he was the one... He was the one who was supposed to... All the nepotism went to him.
Yeah.
And he sucks dicks.
Well, what's crazy too is she just did her NPR Tiny Desk concert a few days ago. Mm. Fantastic performance. That girl fucks.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, I know.
I just, you know, speaking of her, it's her mom's Jada Pinkett Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking rewatched Collateral in the last week. Yeah. Which is fucking dope.
Oh yeah.
And it is aging, however, I am sad to say. I was like, oh, some of the music choices and things like that. Michael Mann's weird with his music choices.
Yeah, the club music and
stuff. That part's dope though. Like that scene is so fucking good because he's really enjoying fucking just breaking these people's bones and shit.
Yeah.
You know? But I didn't remember like until watching, I'm like, fucking it's Jamie Foxx. And Jada Pinkett Smith, and just the world is such a different place now. Yeah. You know, I'm just like, damn. But they were both pretty good in that movie. And fuck it, you know, Tom Cruise, that's like, it's best when he goes against type. I shouldn't say best, because this whole fucking Mission Impossible thing is great because he's a lunatic. But I love seeing him fucking play a bad guy. And I loved him in that and fucking Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
But seeing Jada Pinkett Smith was just such a fucking trip, dude. Because I could not stop thinking about, like, just her, you know, Will Smith getting cucked and the whole smack thing. And
the whole everything revolving around her.
Yeah. In the last year, she had a book come out and all that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
But and outright, like, saying, like, yeah, you know, I cheated on Will.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just did that?
You just did that, and you just said that like for no reason. Like, why are we sharing this at public? Like, is this what's the accomplishment?
Just to piss off Will, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
But anywho, yeah, that album's good. I suggest it.
All right. So Jorge's album suggestion is Willow Smith.
No, it's not Willow Smith. It's just
Will Smith.
It's just you take out the and it's just Willow.
Big Willow style.
Yeah, Big Willow style. And
LucasArts Willow.
And your album suggestion?
Shit, nothing, man. I haven't been listening to anything except for fucking checking out the whole discography of Kendrick Lamar.
Fuck yeah, good for you. Woo!
Dude, that's right. We haven't talked. We didn't talk about it. So much has happened in we'll talk about the Kendrick Drake thing for just a little bit, and then we'll get to what we watched, and then we'll get to the show.
Well, wait a minute, dude. Most of our listeners don't give a fuck about that.
I
don't care.
Highly doubt that.
Really?
I highly doubt that.
And most of our Patreon doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this That's is like true. That's true. This transcends genres.
Oh, so do I.
And it's incredible, dude. Like the Kendrick Drake stuff. Over the weekend, I was like, "Oh, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me." And it's weird because I don't really give a shit about rap beef in any case.
No, man, but it was thrilling.
It was thrilling. Kendrick just even if like he was 75%, you know, telling the truth.
No, dude, look.
But ultimately, who cares?
Across these diss tracks, he demonstrated his entire skill set and range. As a lyricist, as a rapper, and also the differences in the types of songs, like fucking, you know, like on the heels of, what is it? Meet the Marshalls?
Meet the Grams?
Meet the Grams. Yeah. Meet the Grams. On the heels of that one.
Meet the Marshalls.
He doesn't even let him do a retort and fucking comes out with, of course, like Not Like Us, right? Which is,
The One.
It's just fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, to borrow a phrase, it's a bop. Like, it's like, okay, you want something people can dance to? Like, okay. And then it's also like, I didn't know the context at the time, but like fucking Drake, like using AI to do fucking Tupac. The
Tupac thing, yeah. And also Snoop.
Yeah, and also, you're not even like, you're not from the West Coast. You like, Tupac would fucking laugh at you, and you're disrespecting his estate. And you're using AI. It's like so many layers deep of like, are you trying to like, I think it's engineered. Like, this must be engineered.
And Kendrick pretty much having like a mole on Drake's side so that he can like release his diss track that he already made in response to that one minutes after it came out.
I forget who it was I was listening to. I mean, I watched probably about like 15 to 20 YouTube videos about the whole thing.
Reaction
videos. It was just so fascinating to see everybody's reaction to it. But somebody was saying that like Drake tried to like come to on his response, tried to come to Kendrick's like court with that last song where he was very like thoughtful and very like, wait a minute, dude, let's talk about this shit.
Oh.
On the last one, on his response.
It was fucking awful.
And it was awful. Okay, I'm not saying it was good.
I'm gonna let you finish.
But when Kendrick goes to, you know, to Drake's end of things and makes like a club song, essentially,
yeah.
Annihilates it. And it's incredible. He's got people screaming pedophile in fucking clubs, which is wild.
It is wild. And also, look, I do get this too. Like, Kendrick himself, like on his last album, like, what the fuck is cancel culture? So there is something to be said about like not lobbying stuff at people that can't be substantiated. But also, it's like, number one, a lot of this already is substantiated. What I mean by that is this Millie Bobby Brown thing is not fucking new.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not an isolated incident.
It's also a fucking diss track, and it's also great that he didn't mention her by name.
Until Drake did.
And then Drake mentions her by name, which is fucking great. And then, like, the retort, like, Kendrick hasn't responded since Drake fucking did his thing. Because don't interrupt your opponent when they're looking like a fucking idiot.
Yep.
Because everyone is just hearing, all I'm seeing is just like, you know, Drake's the kind of guy to fucking say that the person, people who got your information from are clowns, and then say he's the one that you got the information from. Or it's like, it was part of my master plan to make you think I was a pedo. Like, it's like, fucking dude.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Like, it's fucking bad news. Like, if that's true, which it clearly can't be. If it's true, though, like, that's worse.
Yeah.
So it's just fucking pure stupidity.
The whole defense of it was so wild because, how could I be a pedophile? I'm too famous for that. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson.
It's
Michael Jackson's the most famous man who ever lived at the time.
It's crazy. And then the stuff about like, I don't look twice at teenagers.
You look once.
And Fantano goes, yeah, you look.
So he looks once.
That's so you the limit. Once. Even that's fucked up.
No, and then like even like looking at the thumbnail for Not Like Us, like it's so fucking like scorched earth. It's fucking Drake's estate with the Megan's Law fucking thing all over it.
A bunch of them, yeah.
It is so fucking scorched earth, dude. Like, because then it got me looking as someone who obviously clearly like Jorge is much more of a hip hop aficionado, right, and all that. But dude, like I'm looking at the greatest diss tracks of all time, and you know I got familiar with Ether, which is the Nas one.
Yeah.
But fucking, I was familiar with Hit 'Em Up, and I was familiar with No Vaseline. But dude, something's in the water here in the West Coast though, because they're fucking brutal. Like again, at least three of the top five, because this is in the top five for me. Like it has to be. Are from the West Coast.
From the West Side.
And it sounds like, oh, there's this beef, these grown men beefing. I heard that from someone, and it's like at work. And I'm like, what you have no problem with a boxing match though, right? Like like seriously,
Questlove.
Yes. Yeah, well, exactly. Like him, Questlove coming out fucking after years of playing on fucking Jimmy Fallon, like fucking
just, yeah.
Saying hip hop is dead,
doinking like, it up like, on fucking fuck Jimmy up. Fallon is like, come on, man. Fucking
Hit 'Em Up came out in 1996, and he's saying he fucked someone's wife. Like, dude, that's fucking almost 30 years ago. Hip hop is dead. Like that. Hip hop is like, you know, there's one of the fucking commenters. You probably know who it is. I can't remember his name. He's got a fucking shirt that says hip hop is a sport. And I think that's a good phrase.
Yeah.
For this kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a really, to me, it's an interesting cultural moment. Oh yeah. Huge fucking difference though. Cause it's 2024. When Tupac did what he did, there was no fucking the internet, you know, it wasn't happening like that. And you couldn't just respond on the internet back to back to back like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's been thrilling. This whole rumor that Universal Music Group, which again, this is just a rumor and it's a viral rumor now, has been urging Kendrick to apologize, right? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because of fucking Drake is not just Drake. Drake has sold 170 million albums. Partially because he makes trash for trash people. And there's a lot of people. No, but dude, he's under a fucking contract to release two albums a year, you know, and all of that stuff. And so, and he has, and he's been doing that for a minute now. And most of them, it's been a while, right? Since any of them been.
Since I wasn't addicted.
Exactly. Since they've been artistically substantial. But anyway, even that rumor makes Kendrick look better because it's just like.
Even his fans are like, you know, this whole feud has made his music better than it has been.
Absolutely. And also because the guy's not prolific. Like, again, he's not released two albums a fucking year because of a contract. So it's great to hear new music from him. And it's like Kendrick is not like the fucking beef guy, but it's like you called him out and then he like.
And then he was really good at it.
He's really good at it, and it's fucked. Of course he's really good at it, because he's fucking Kendrick Lamar. And it's just, it's a glorious thing to see. I like it. What do you think the fallout of it's going to be?
Nothing. I mean, I think, you know, people saying that, like, oh, it's hip-hop, you shouldn't have beef. It's like, yeah, this is me speaking as, like, 90% a white guy. So, like, I have no skin in this game, obviously. But, like, that's the culture, right? Like, it's not like to...
You wish you were white, dude. Like me.
I wish I was anything but Mexican, dude.
Oh, come on, dude.
Didn't Machine Gun Kelly...
That's a problemista.
Machine Gun Kelly, I think, just changed genres of music.
He just left. Yeah. He just left hip-hop altogether. Yeah. That was a good fucking little beef, too.
Yeah, a kill shot.
Yeah.
Well, and he can do that because, again, it's like the guy is about how he looks, and he's like, chicks will dig me regardless of the genre I do. And it's true. They do. And, yeah.
Anywho, other than countless videos of the fucking Drake-Kendrick beef, what'd you watch?
Like, nothing but reaction videos.
Yeah, that's it.
No, it's been a lot, though. It has been more of those than I've ever watched for a single thing, and it's definitely a...
It took a lot of, like, brain space over the last week for me.
Yeah, it really I'm in the car. I was in the car on the way to work, plugging in YouTube reaction videos, and it's like fucking instead of listening to AM radio, obviously, which I wouldn't do, but you know what I mean, a generational thing.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that, dude. I wouldn't listen to AM radio like that.
Not anymore, dude. Ever since fucking Art Bell died,
that's fucked up, dude. Even that show's all fucking trumped out now too. Anyway. You didn't have you heard it? Coast to coast? Fucking get people calling in about I think Trump is like, what the fuck, dude? Talk about aliens.
Yep.
I'm not listening to this for this. I saw a film called Mars Express. Went to theaters for this.
Went to a theater, dude?
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's an animated French film. I saw a trailer for it before that movie The Beast that I talked about in the previous episode. And it's fucking dope. It did really well in the festival circuit in Europe last year. And it's, to me, it's borderline a new sci-fi animation classic. I think Jorge will like a lot of the stuff in this movie.
Okay.
It's got some nifty violence in it. The premise is it has nods to several things, but it's in a possible future scenario where we've colonized Mars and AI. It's all about AI. Like, there's a bunch of AI.
Look, a little Blade Runner-y. Rogue AI, not replicant, but like an android.
It's definitely the moment of when consciousness happens and then people trying to rein that in. Because basically they call it being, they jailbreak. Like, you know, this person, this robot, this AI has been jailbreaked. Which means they're self-aware, right? And that's a fucking problem because humans have a problem with anything having its own autonomy.
Yeah.
There could be a threat to it, right? As usual. So it's like not a new thing because that was slavery forever and all that shit. Anyway, but it does some new fucking things with it, dude. Instead of just AI, you've also got people that died and their consciousness is uploaded to an AI body, to a robot body. So they're in this kind of like, it's not trans, but they're in this kind of like, they're not accepted by the regular humans. So they are, of course, they're kind of ostracized. And so they end up being part, like the robots will accept them, but they're not robots, right? And then the way it's like in this film too, it's not like Blade Runner in the sense that the robots are very emotional, right? So when they get like shocked or killed, like they're screaming and they're in pain and it's all like that.
The creator.
Exactly. But like fucking better.
Hey, now.
Yeah, well, it is. No, and it's got some really fucking cool ideas and some new approaches to that stuff. So I'd recommend it. I mean, I saw it because we, you know, all three of us, and we have the AMC thing, and it had some limited show times.
The animation looks great.
It is.
Yeah.
Really cool. I'd recommend it to anyone when it comes out on streaming. Did an Inception rewatch. And it's weird. I hate to say it. It's not my number one Nolan film anymore. It's fucking weird, dude.
Well,
I didn't think that would happen. There's
too many dreams.
That's not it. Oh. Too many notes.
Yeah.
This was Sophia's second watch ever. And she said that she completely did not understand it the first time and liked it much better the second time. And I'm like, well, on my 50th watch, I'm getting sick of it.
Go up to her like this, bro.
Yeah. No, I still love it, but it's interesting what time does. What do you mean go like this? What do you mean?
Nothing. It's a Tenet, dude.
Oh, I think she prefers Tenet, you know?
That's crazy.
That's fucked up. I think he does, too.
Prefer Tenet to
Tenet has vibes, dude.
I think Tenet is more rewatchable because of its pacing.
What the fuck?
For me.
That's Inception. Even fucking crazy. What the fuck? Yeah. Crazy shit right now. That's not why I like Tenet, but...
And I like crazy shit too.
I like crazy shit. Oh, The Night of. You've seen that series before.
Love, I've seen it multiple times.
Fantastic fucking series. Same showrunner. Well, Steven Zalian and that other guy. Same showrunner as The Outsider. They've also got the Ripley show, the Talented Mr. Ripley show that's on Netflix. I started that. I haven't finished it. It's really fucking well done. But the end of last week, Sophia's like, I need to watch something that where we don't have to think, you know? And I said, I think I got the thing for you. And we put on Reacher.
Yeah. I want to watch this.
And the only reason I gave it a green light is because I heard he's talking shit about fucking Trump, which means it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'll give this a shot.
He called him a rapist or something.
He called him a rapist con man.
Which is rad because that pisses off
80% of the viewers.
80% of the audience.
And also, if and when you watch this show, like, why would the audience like this guy? This guy is fucking doesn't like hunting. He hunts hunters. He fucking, and he's exposing an ecological issue and all that. There's nothing for you to like except he's fucking military or ex-military and white. So they're like, well, we'll get behind that. But
they haven't even watched the fucking thing. And they're like, that's for us, dude.
Yeah, it's like not for you. But the show's super. It's a show where like every other line is a fucking goofy one-liner. But the character is super appealing. The actor's fucking very obviously physically commanding. The fight scenes, they use them sparingly. And they're not repetitive. It's never like the same shit twice. There's a lot of it is like, dude, you know how I am with TV shows, but turn your brain off. Mm-hmm. Turn your brain off and fucking watch the show. Like, it's definitely good for that.
I can't do that, dude.
I know you can. No, but I'm just kidding. Well, dude, it has a great like ratio of payoff though. I'm like, cause it's like, dude, what the fuck are they doing in this motel? I don't care about this. Like, what is this? And then some dope shit happens. And it's pretty well plotted.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of those like one-liners. Like every fucking 2 minutes, it's like, aah! Like, dude, like I don't think it's that funny.
Have you seen the Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How does it compare?
Well, fucking the guy who did the Tom Cruise movie went on to do the Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
So look, I never read the book.
Wasn't John Krasinski Jack Reacher for a little bit?
No, that's Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan.
That's literally the same thing Sophia asked. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Jack Ryan was that's Harrison Ford's character in Clear and Present Danger.
Right.
Ben Affleck portrayed him in there was some other fucking missile movie with Morgan Freeman. And
Tom Clancy Renaissance movies.
Yeah, and Alec Baldwin was the first guy to portray him in Hunt for Red October.
And Chris Pine also play him? Maybe. I don't know. I think
you're right. They had another fucking Jack Ryan movie.
He's everywhere.
But yeah, Jack Reacher is a different. He's not an analyst. He's a hands-on dude, and he's definitely, definitely autistic. No, I'm not kidding. Like, dude, if you Google Jack Reacher autistic, you'll find a lot of evidence. So
it's like The Accountant, but not as good.
But better.
Not as good, but better.
Yeah, and he says some totally like fucking, you know, someone's husband just got murdered, and he's like, you don't have time to grieve now. You need to think about your kids. It's like, yes. Good point. I mean, harsh but true.
Yeah, I mean, get out. You can't.
Yeah, you don't have time for this right now. But fun show. We watched the whole first season.
Fun show.
There's a fucking dope part where he lures all these guys to a house and like fucking does the whole like Dutch predator thing. And it's fucking dope. And he looks like when he put the fucking the camo paint on it, I'm like, this guy looks fucked up right now, which is fun. Made me kind of.
You can dress up as him for Halloween.
Yeah.
You need to go shooting with him now. Like, oh, now is the time to strike because he's in.
Yeah. And then fucking, oh.
Yeah.
He goes to a gun shop, obviously, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
He goes to a gun shop to get all this stuff to kill people. Right, to kill these guys he's going after. But the guys at the thing at the gun shop is telling him all about deer and like, you get that buck shot and the blah, 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 blah. He's like, why would I want to do that to a defenseless animal? And the guy looks at him all weird. And then he's like, hey. And then he points to this other thing, which is, I don't know the name of it, but it's the lines that you need to go down cliffs. But he's going to use it to like go down a house and stuff and break
like,
into
like to rappel down.
Yeah. And he's all, let me get a couple of those too. And the guy's like, I don't know if I should give it to this guy. And it's like, yeah, that's the whole point. Like, it makes the point really fucking well. It's like, you can only give it to him if he's fucking killing deer. Like, okay, that's not what a lot of people are doing with this shit. Anyway,
it's pretty good.
All right. It's a Jack Reacher podcast. I think that's it, man. That's it.
Okay. I just saw two movies. Same night. Last Friday night.
Amadeus twice.
Yes. No. Tommy Wiseau was back in town.
Oh, yes. Big Shark.
Oh! Fourth time meeting Tommy Wiseau, and he was there to do his little tour for Big Shark because he just refuses to release it digitally. He's just making all the money selling out theaters for Big Shark around the country. And it was a double feature night, The Room and Big Shark. I was only going to see Big Shark. One of my friends was nice enough as a late birthday gift. He got me a ticket, and then one of his friends didn't show up, so I had two. And so Courtney and I went and saw The Room also before Big Shark, which I'm glad they did it that way.
So you did do it.
We did the double feature last minute, and that was I think my 13th time seeing The Room, 12 or 13th time seeing The Room in theaters.
Do you hear that shit?
Yep.
And that was the best one they've ever done. It was like all the hardcore fans. There was like this like fraternity of like Room bros wearing all like t-shirts and hats, and they like knew they had like the most unique, insane callbacks I've ever heard. It was like a whole brand new experience, and it was, everyone's dying of laughter. And then we saw Big Shark, and that was my third time seeing that, and I think it's far superior than The Room now. And the first two times, you know, this is the beginning of like a new cult classic, so there's no callbacks. People are just laughing their asses off. There's finally callbacks in the theater for Big Shark and people making it their own thing. You're just watching this midnight cult phenomenon finally like happen in front of your eyes, and we're just making up shit. And dude, Big Shark is too good, man. And it's like slightly different. Like, he's adding more scenes to it. There's new footage in Big Shark after this third time. So, you know, yeah, you got to come out one of these times, dude. It'll fucking change you. I think for Big Shark, it's, I think it transcends fucking...
Taste?
Yeah, taste in cinema, and you called it avant-garde.
It fucking is avant-garde, because avant-garde doesn't know it's avant-garde. If it knows it is or is trying to be, it's not avant-garde.
And I still can't...
It's Drake.
Yeah, I still can't figure it out. I did go home and watch Disaster Artist again. That was fun. But, man, he announced during his Q&A he's got three projects lined up, or one of them's already made. He made a vampire movie. Tommy Wiseau's a vampire movie. He's got a science fiction horror film, I think, also coming out. And then he's doing The Room on Broadway.
That's fucking dope.
So
he should focus his efforts on that and slow down.
Yeah.
This Big Shark thing is really beginning to take off. He doesn't need to, you know.
He needs to focus.
Yeah, he needs to focus, dude. This Room Broadway thing could fucking take it to a whole new level of of immortality that Jorge will not be interested in.
True.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man.
It's a retarded spectacle.
I would have loved to fucking go. And then it's like, that was the night I had, Sophia and I had tickets to go to Amun-Ra for the second time, and we didn't even go to that. Like I told you, we were so, like, our week was so fucked.
You had gone to see Boy Harsher that week too, right?
Boy Harsher was the week before, or a couple weeks before.
Okay,
but I really like Amun-Ra live.
I fuck with it.
I fuck with that live. That's a great live experience. It's like in a violent nature, dude.
But that's it. that's it for me.
All right, cool.
We're What'd you watch?
I'm nothing.
Don't, come on, man. Nothing?
Nothing. I mean, yes, things, but...
Anything of note?
No. Okay. I'm like halfway through season 3 of Lost. That's where I'm at. That's
fucked up. You're still doing that.
It is fucked up.
You're still doing that. When are you going to watch fucking Night Country, Jacob?
Oh, fucking... That's a good question.
Dude, it's time.
It's time.
I want to hear what you think, dude. I want to.
I'm scared, dude.
I'm scared, dude. I'm scared.
I couldn't even finish Madam Web. I was so scared.
Come on.
It took me like 6 days, and I had like 10 minutes left. I couldn't even get. I couldn't do it, man.
Yeah, dude. I'm very impressed with Madam Web, Night Country, Imaginary, Night Swim, and maybe tonight's film. But we'll have to see.
I guess. I mean, look. We'll be right back.
I think because of how much I like her.
I feel like I'm a hater-ass bitch.
You are.
And I think I'm justified.
You're not justified in being a hater-ass bitch for www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. Because we do not hate them. We need them. Mm. We love them.
Mm-hmm.
We think of them daily.
Talk to them daily.
We talk to them daily on the Discord, almost daily, which is pretty cool. It's pretty nice. And they also, you get the episodes early.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bunch of pre-show content of varying quality.
Oh, I could say that. Yeah, you could say.
No, but it's like every time. We used to do it sometimes, like every fucking time.
Yeah, now. It's at least, it's a, and it's at least 40 minutes of just.
Some good, some of it's like, I think I'm the only one of the three of us that listens to the episodes. And some of it is like, there's some really good discussions.
In after, that. After the episode is recorded, you are right. I don't listen to any of it.
But, they listen to it.
And the Bree show is great. It's worth it. It's so worth the Patreon monies to get the fucking that extra content.
Well,
I was for many years, and as I always look forward to the pre-show shit. It's very, very raw.
It used to be significantly more raw.
Yes,
when we would have vitriol at the table. Things are a lot more chill now. And that's for the best, because I don't think there'd be a show anymore if it was getting too fucked up.
Yeah.
But thank you to all our Patreon. And thank you to, of course, thank you for listening as well. And if you like the show, consider joining the Patreon.
Yeah.
And consider 2024's tarot.
Consider this dick.
That's, yeah. Like D-I-S.
D-I-Q.
D-I-Q.
Yeah. Well, the Who Goes Your Podcast watched a little film called Tarot, 2024's Tarot, directed by Spencer Cohen and Anna Hallberg. Written by Nicholas Adams, Spencer Cohen, Anna Hallberg, starring...
Someone wrote this.
A person named Avantika. She's got a single name. Jacob Batalon, who you might know from the Spider-Man movies. Mm. Olwen Fuhrer, who you'll not know from anywhere. Harriet Slater, Humberly Gonzalez. Oh, she's a Gonzalez, dude. That's dope. Oh. Larson Thompson, Anna Hallberg, Adane Bradley, and a couple other people you probably don't know.
Avantika should have been cast in Dune 2 instead of Zendaya.
Jesus.
Everyone's talking about her,
look
though.
At her. Look at her. Woo. Smoking. go on, Jorge.
The synopsis of Tarot is as such: when a group of friends recklessly violates the sacred rule of tarot readings, they unknowingly unleash an unspeakable evil trapped within the cursed cards.
Fuck yeah.
One by one, they come face to face with fate to fate and end up in a race to race against death to death.
I'll be damned. He's decompressing.
All right. Jacob, what do you think of the movie, dude? I got you, dude.
I didn't even write. Like, I usually write like a little paragraph of my initial thoughts when you ask me. I couldn't even think of what to write.
Wanda.
Listen, this movie, man. I mean, we're in the AI renaissance of films. Not that they're actually written by AI, but like, I mean, at this point, it's the greatest insult you can give these horror movies that are coming out right now. These, I don't think this was Blumhouse, but I mean, it just feels like this cheap ass, just lazy fucking everything. It's the acting, it's the writing, the scares. It's some of the most boring tension I've ever heard. And this is not, I'm not even talking about the cringe, which is the entirety of this movie from minute one with the music at the not the title card, just the music, the opening scene, everything. Like, I think this is like a bunch of like 50-year-old dudes writing teenage dialogue. It's horrendous, man. I it's not even laughable. I was more entertained with Imaginary because of just the silliness and ridiculous of this movie. Just I hated through and through so much, and I couldn't believe when people were saying it's worse than Imaginary. I couldn't believe that, and then I saw this, and in a theater with like six other people, and everyone is laughing the entire movie. No one took it. People's phones were going off. People were texting, and none of it was bothering me. It was just trash. It was so much trash. Yeah. Okay. So all right. Yeah, check it out. No.
I think you should go next.
You think I should go next?
Yeah, dude, because you might be a little surprised by what I think. I think it's one of the... Well, you'll see.
One of the movies of the year?
Definitely.
It is a movie that came out in this year of our Lord, 2024.
That much is
certain. Man, I think I had what do they call them? It's a type of seizure where you lose time. Legitimately, 30 minutes of this movie, I do not remember. Things happened, and I go, oh fuck, we're at the end of the movie. Like I couldn't. It was like a fever dream almost. To call this like a bad movie is like even not, it's not, it doesn't give it enough, it's not enough juice.
No, it's not. You're not giving us proper respect either, you know? Look, man, like, you guys are kind of pissing me off because this movie has really got some stuff going
on. I don't know how to properly convey how irritating and how vapid this movie is. It is one of the worst things I've ever seen. Acting is atrocious, like front to back. The scene composition is atrocious. The cinematography is atrocious.
It's very well lit.
The sound design is atrocious. There are some things, some positive things that I can say about the monster design. Some of it, but that is literally the only, like
if you had to,
if I had to give something that I was like, okay, well, at least the monsters aren't the worst thing in this film. I fucking hated it, dude. I fucking hated this movie. And like, look, again, this is coming from a 41-year-old dude.
Come on.
This is not for me. Like, this movie is not for me.
Do that. Did you jump?
It's not for anyone.
Well, I mean,
for Drake fans.
This, you know what, dude? This is actually Drake's final response to Kendrick.
He should have been in the credits. Yes.
Executive produced Drake.
Drake
did Euphoria and this.
And then this.
Drake's white flag with tarot.
I just, like, I left the theater and there was two other people in there with me. And I couldn't, like, you know that thing when you're walking out of the theater and even if the movie's bad or whatever, you kind of have that sort of like camaraderie with the audience. We just all left kind of like, huh. Fuck.
It kind of ruined my night. Like, I went home, it's late, and I was like, I got like an hour and a half to kill before I go to bed. Like, I don't even want to play video games. I just sat on my phone, and I was like, I was just in a funk. This movie just fucking ruined my day.
Damn. Sounds like you guys...
were hater-ass bitches.
You guys got fucked up by this movie.
You know what? I think I did, dude.
I enjoyed the fuck out of this movie. Because it delivered exactly what the trailer promised. Trash.
Yeah.
So you said fever dream, right?
No, I was in a fever dream. No. Not the movie.
This film. Look. Imaginary's come out this year. Night Swim. Yeah. You guys got to check it out. I'd actually say this is third place behind Imaginary and Night Swim being number one. And that's fucked up because the movie's so bland that it can't even like be bad enough to be bad enough. No, but what it can do is it has rare ability to evoke a disassociative fugue state. There's long stretches of the film where I completely forgot I was watching a movie. And I came back like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, and I see them running. They're like running. There's a lot of fucking nonsensical running in this film. Like they run from one end of the house to the next.
They're running like, across a bridge.
They're running across a bridge like cross country. She's just fucking booking it for like 3 or 4 minutes.
This movie is padded like a motherfucker.
It's fucking crazy. And so yeah, it's a debut directing job from the person or persons who did it. And it's not a promising start. But I mean, look, this is the most fucking, like, you read the synopsis.
Yeah.
It's a fucking Final Destination ripoff. It's a ripoff of a lot of things. A horror movie doesn't have to fucking be, I mean, newsflash, doesn't have to be original. It needs to be executed well. And at the very least, fucking, like, don't make this PG-13, you know? We get, every kill we get, like, we get the half-assed version of it. And then also, we're not even talking about, like, the horoscope and tarot card thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had to drag Sophia to this film. I had to really drag her. She's like, when I first said we're going to do tarot next, she's like, you're on your own with that one.
Same with Courtney, yeah. Yeah,
and she's never, like, just straight up said you're on your own with that one. Unless it was something like Pig, which I was watching in the living room.
Right.
Which is, like, understandable. Like
correct,
like the fucking the Shaq meme, like understandable things. good night. But dude, and then she's like, I'm sorry, I'll go with you. You know, the thing is, it's so fucking regressive because it's like it's playing on everyone's idea that tarot cards are innately like evil and it's bad and it's all this like fucking like,
well that they're sided at all.
Exactly.
Like that.
And then, so this movie literally has fucking dialogue like, she's reading my horoscope. It's like, it makes like fucking like the dumbest. If Jorge didn't already think this shit was stupid, like he got so much fucking ammunition, dude, like with this movie, because he thinks I'm fucking dumb, and he's right. he thinks I'm over there having mood rituals being a fucking idiot, dude. But it's nothing like this, goddammit. It's the biggest misrepresentation of shit.
Like, okay, so even if you don't have any sort of feeling one way or the other of, you know, like witchy things and horoscopy things, or and
I'm so esoteric.
Yeah, like I myself am not. Like, I'm not into it. I let people do their thing. It's cool. Yeah. But it's just like, if I was a person that was into tarot readings and astrology and all, dude, this is so, this seems so far off the mark that it's like, it would be like, oh, you read like a Sunday fucking comic version.
It's
of
like worse.
It's like a fucking some boomer's ass idea of what tarot card readings are.
Yeah. No, and then so the thing is too, and that's a good just segue into the thing, right? Like they read this girl who's self-taught, probably from the internet, but who isn't these days, to be fair. She's giving people the tarot readings before there's any tarot cards. We get very, very little fucking, like, introduction to these people.
Dude, there's a beer-searching montage.
There's seven of them, by the way. Fucking seven of them.
It starts out with the stock-ass thing, which, again, there's lots of stock-ass shit in horror movies, but they're at a campfire, and they're college kids. But they're talking like no college kids have ever spoken before. Like, they do not... College kids do not fucking talk this way. No one talks this way.
It was like drunk 8-year-olds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like toddlers drinking cans of Samuel Adams, by the way. This is Sam Adams in a can, in the shot, multiple times. College kids.
Playing Never Have I Ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like, the questions were like, she's like, I got one. And it's like, Sophia's like, I got one. Like, so mad already, dude. But, and then what she says is exactly like a fucking toddler idea, you know? And it's like, this is just crazy.
And they were also doing like, yearbook stuff, like most likely to be married before. But it's that. I'm just,
and they're in college.
I don't fucking interface with this stuff. in the first place,
right,
as a non-college student. And then the idea that this is like the lens that this director, these directors see college students as, is fucking crazy, because it's like you've got homeboy from Spider-Man, who is supposed to be like the plucky comedy relief.
Don't even get me started.
He's fucking awful. His name is Paxton.
Who's fucking insipid and unbelievably grating the entire fucking movie.
I wanted to drain myself of all of my Filipino bloodline.
Well, that's right. He is Filipino by way of Hawaii.
Yeah, it's he's something else in this. It was just grating, man. Every time he talked,
it's not very promising for him. It seems to be like this is it for you. You know, yeah. Might want to pack it up.
Pack it up. Yeah, take the royalties from Spider-Man and
yeah.
Okay, you know, sail into the fucking moonlight.
Paxton, go Paxton, fuck yourself.
Packs it up.
Yeah, his name is Paxton, which is also, I mean, does that happen?
Filipinos
and your people?
His name is Jacob.
Yeah, his real name is Jacob. Which,
not fucking Paxton, like Bill Paxton.
I'm ready to change my name,
Jacob
too.
Batalon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then they're in this big-ass house. And
which also on top of that, like watching rich kids suffer, I'm into it. Like I want to see these rich assholes suffer.
Yeah.
And they didn't even make that enjoyable.
No, they didn't make it enjoyable because after the first couple people die, about 30 minutes later when they mention them again, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot they existed. Yeah,
there's three other people.
Fuck? Yeah. Like I totally forgot they died. I totally forgot they existed in the movie, you know? But yeah, they stumble on this deck of fucking tarot cards and it's so like...
In a sequence that's like...
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods ripoff.
It's the worst. They're... Motherfuckers, they're aping content that they have no business aping, doing it in the most tone-deaf and, frankly, retarded way possible.
Yeah. Yeah, because then they do the readings, and then the stuff that ensues is, like, the first person, it was, or one of the, I think it's the second person, they said, in her reading, she said, to make sure not to go down the wrong track. So, therefore...
It's literally...
He's on a track.
Yeah.
And that's not, I mean, I'm saying something super obvious. It sounds so stupid to even have to say that. That's not how tarot readings work. They're not like puns.
It's
divination is not referring to literal tracks.
You may experience a deviation. You're going to turn on left on the fucking road here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, someone else, it mentions a bridge. We're on a bridge. Like, fucking, you know.
There was a ladder mentioned, like climbing the corporate ladder, and homegirl dies by ladder.
And also, here's the other thing, too. So they start this subtext inevitably about fate, right? About how you can't change fucking fate. The thing is, none of these fates existed for them until they... got their tarot read.
Right.
So it's the tarot reading, it wasn't...
Created the fate.
Yeah, it wasn't fucking telling you the future, it was creating the future. Thankfully, after about fucking 30 minutes, they info-dumb this and realized...
Oh my God.
We're going to need to fucking explain why the tarot reading is killing them.
God almighty.
Because that's not how tarot cards work. They don't make your future, they tell you... The idea of divination is that... It's telling you a reading of what's in your life at the moment,
right? Where
it's going
and allow you to kind of like navigate what's coming to you. Not
yeah. It's not like I got my tarot reading and now I'm fucked. Like that's not what it meant.
Like ultimately, like trying to sort of suss that out is kind of like, well, they're cursed, so you know it doesn't matter what you know about divination because now it's like fuck.
It would be like you touch the box, you're cursed.
Yeah.
So. Unfucking what's the word? Irrelevant.
Yeah.
The cards irrelevant. The reading irrelevant.
Yeah.
The bridge, none of it would matter. Like then, you just touch the fucking box.
And then they go to this fucking Lin Shay stand-in fucking character.
Oh what, bitch? Just a kiss suck on a dick. She showed up, dude, and it's like, fuck, they did not bring Sally the chick from Mandy in here.
And she played the Sally from the
Texas Chainsaw. right?
Yeah.
The new Texas Chainsaw.
So, yeah, so you get to her house, which is already like, okay, what's happening? She info dumps like like nobody's business. This is one of those moments where I disassociated from my body.
Yeah.
5 minutes pass by and I go, wait, what?
Yeah.
Why? There's a witch and...
Whoa, get it right. The astrologer.
There's an astrologer and she, like, there's a king and he uses her as, like, the astrologer.
It's like a flashback within a flashback.
Yeah. When I say get it right for listeners, like, fucking, if most of you haven't seen this movie, because why would you? It's literally the character, the astrologer. That's not just me saying that. That's what they call her.
Yeah.
The astrologer. It's like, fuck, man. Are you serious? Like, do better, you know?
Be better.
But yeah, sorry.
So, well, no, it's just, it's wild because Jacob just said it. It's like a flashback within a flashback. And so they explain this whole idea of why the cards are cursed.
Mm-hmm. She's bound her spirit to that deck and it's a restless spirit. And
so then they get the bright idea that like they have to either destroy the cards or do some other disconnect between the cards and the spirit who is inhabiting them, right?
Yeah.
And then things just fucking things are just happening on screen, and it's hard. Not that it's a difficult thing to decipher, but it's hard to like
track.
To track. Yeah. It truthfully is, man, because...
That's because you got in the fever dream, dude. That's what I'm saying. You're not giving this movie... Yeah. It's like Lost Highway. It's like David Lynch.
Yeah.
It's like you forget what movie you're watching when they snap back to the present.
Snap back to reality.
Dude, it's just, yeah, there's like the worst editing I've ever seen. Like a good thing, like a good example is going back to the tarot reading. That shit's like done in real time. Yeah. We get 7 of these readings back to back to introduce every character, and it is so exhausting. And then you look at Talk to Me and look at that, you know,
which is next to each other. Fucking like good way to do this.
Yes, the editing, and there's actual scares within that whole thing and that they're trying to rip off.
Brutal, bleak, cold open.
Yeah.
Right?
This has none of it. There's not even... Yeah, I don't think there's even a cold open. Was
no,
there? Yeah,
no,
yeah.
This is trash open.
Dude, that title card...
At the campfire.
I texted you guys immediately. When it hits that title card and it goes from them, like, doing the tarot readings and then it's like, tarot!
And the silhouette of her slit in her throat, yeah.
Oh, my
God. Oh, and another thing, too.
I got so excited right there.
Dude, this movie is so dark. You can't see half the shit. They're trying to do this whole, like, oh, is there something in the darkness? It's so dark you can't even see. It's
all darkness.
It's just darkness. Like, I'm not even scared. Yeah. I can't see it.
Yeah, it's not atmosphere. It's like it's bad cinematography. And I can't see what's happening.
It's darker than AVP2. Like, it's crazy. Well,
and just like...
Oh, hold on. Before I forget.
Hold on.
Little bitch. Wait, no. You know that song yet?
Black.
Hey, when they go to the old white bitch's house, right? It's the trope of we need to go talk to the expert. You remember how they find the expert?
They Google her.
They find her online.
Yeah.
They find her online. It's the first one they find, and they go there. And of course, she's like, no, because they have to say no at first before they say yes and before they eventually die, which is all of which happens. Spoiler alert, but fucking shouldn't be, right? But... the fact that they go in there and the first person they Googled is the one with all of the fucking...
With the knowledge.
All of the info dump and the one who is the survivor. And again, it's like, well, that's fate, dude. That's fate. It's meant to be, dude.
I don't believe in coincidences.
The car, it's just so fucking, dude.
I believe
in
fate.
So it's like contrivance proof because it's fucking connected anyway. But it's like, dude, you just shoved them fucking Google her. You know, like, it's just crazy. So I wanted to talk about that. But then, like Jorge said, the idea is they need to destroy the deck. And then they have this idea. They need to read this idea of fire.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't occur to be the natural first fucking idea.
Yeah, because how else are you going to put him in a shredder? Is that what you're gonna do, bro?
Yeah, dude. You're gonna rip them up over and over and over again. You're like, fucking.
So, water. Yeah. You're gonna put them in a cup of water.
And then, of course, they put them in the fire. And guess what? They don't burn.
Oh,
they don't fucking burn, dude.
Bro, they don't burn.
You know? And then, like, that's like where I said, that's when shit starts fucking just keeps happening then, right? And it's hard to track. But anyway, I wanted to get that part out about, like, how they find this fucking, this expert via Google, and she's the one.
Well, everything,
and she lives in the same city.
Everything they find is via Google. They're like, because one of the characters goes like, "Oh, where'd you find that info?" "Oh, it's the first website I looked at." It's like, "Oh, cool,
yeah,
cool, dope."
You were saying the editing?
Oh yeah, just the pacing, editing. It's just exhausting,
it's a
man.
Nightmare, man.
It is, and it taking pride in trying to be like a new Final Destination for this new generation, and we're trying to be like a slasher, or like this year's 13 Ghosts with all the different characters. It's some of the most uninspired kills.
Yeah.
Like none of it is brutal or crazy to watch. It's nothing to even talk about. They don't show any of it.
Can I? What, dude? You're going to talk about the fucking design?
Just going to take one moment. The monster design? Uno momento. There was a scene that I was watching that I actually, like, my focus was on the screen, and I go, okay, you've got my attention for 30 seconds. I did not altogether despise the magician scene.
Okay, dude.
I know. It's not good. It's not, I'm not saying it's good. But I did kind of was like, okay, they're including some like old timey whimy characters in the audience. Like I could kind of see what they were trying to do.
That was the most ambitious scene in the movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's more, I guess that's
it
more.
It was like 7 minutes.
Yeah. I guess that's more what I'm getting at. Not that it was good, but I could see that there was like a kernel of a grain of an idea there.
Yeah. And there's also a grain of an idea that this person who died in the 17th century is embodying the cards, and the magician is apparently from the early 20th century. The fuck is that?
Right.
That makes no goddamn sense, man.
Yeah,
it's
she's
not
like
the magician on the tarot card.
She's like
it's
a
not the
she's
guy
like
who
a
saws people in half.
She's like a medieval fucking witch, and
what the fuck is that?
Because otherwise, then none of it has any sort of bearing on time.
Exactly.
So it could have been anything.
That you mean to tell me the magician card from this tarot deck in the 1700s was that dude with the top hat?
With the mustache?
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That's wild.
She morphed into six swords.
That's what I'm like, dude. It just gets fucking so crazy, dude. And then it's like, also, when they do have something that looks kind of spooky, but I shouldn't even say that. Potentially, they all make the same goddamn sound. It was like, and it's like, dude, that makes it dumber. And they all have the teeth, which makes it dumber.
Yeah.
Like, when I see the dude with the lantern, we're good. But you're like, it's like, no.
Well, yeah, that's what I kind of was sort of alluding to. Not that I think any of it was done competently.
No, I get it. You know,
but like,
they tried to do what they could with costumes.
The jester scene, like, again, a kernel of a grain of an idea. Like, I like the kind of playfulness of that character as the card.
I came out of the fugue state when he's in the elevator, and I was like, what the fuck's happening, dude? And fucking the jesters, like, keep changing faces.
Yeah.
And he's all,
and you're like, oh shit, they got me, dude. They recorded me.
Dude, I got it. Ask fucking Sophia, dude. I'm in the theater, and there's like four other people that are laughing at it. And I'm like, oh! Because he made one of those sounds, dude. And I was like, that's fucking dope, dude. And then they cut away from that and don't go back to it until later.
Yeah.
Yeah, the jester, I couldn't tell you, right now, I could not tell you what happened leading up to the fucking elevator.
Well,
like, I remember he left them from the bridge.
Yeah, he runs from the bridge, right?
He's trying to get into his apartment. Yeah.
And what's crazy, dude, also, like, I kind of understand that this dude is probably going through, like, you know, early male pattern baldness because his head is shaved now.
What?
The Filipino guy.
What the fuck?
Jacob.
Paxton?
But my man, They've got him in a beanie the entire movie, and it's just, I'm like,
that's dope.
I go, what are y'all doing here? What's going on here?
The beanie?
Yeah.
That's,
I focused on it, dude. In my,
you hyper focused on the beanie.
I really did. Well,
another fucking thing. This city is empty. Like when these people, like, you know, like they're, it's fucking empty.
Yeah.
The guy goes under
the subway.
The shit's empty.
Dude, that's part of the atmosphere, brother.
Paxton's walking home. It's fucking empty. Like I don't see other people hardly ever. And that's fucking true.
The only other
that's people, not very immersive. The bridge is empty.
The only other people you see are the two detectives that are questioning these kids. Which is a crazy scene in and of itself. Because they're sitting
down in their desks, and the fucking detectives
they're interrogating them.
No, but they're in their desks at school, and then it's like the scene's like 30 seconds. He's like, "My advice to you is to go home." It's like, what the fuck?
And it's like, go.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Scene?
Yeah.
And then they leave the room, and then the detectives are still there, just leaning on the table.
They're like, "We got him."
Like, what the fuck is this?
Book him, Dano.
Like, you fucking thought about that scene? Like, well, we should, you know, it's cinematic to film it in the classroom, and you guys could just sit there like fucking South Park, like you're fucking in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Those cops never come into. To the story ever again. They never come into play.
They never come back into play. These two with their busted up relationship that, you know, they broke up in the beginning. It never fucking like.
Never actually like came, you know, they never reunited again. They're just kind of there.
Yeah, they're just together because that's who they are, right? And then the main character, I guess main character, she's got this like mom. Being sick,
fuck yeah.
Side story.
You're like, that's not healthy to wear that on your wrist.
The redemptive, after... the redemptive arc of what
wearing the hospital, her mom's hospital bracelet.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I go, what are you like? What's the what, man? Like, she feels guilty because she tarot herself into her mom's death. Is that what we're?
And then Courtney's like, that's not how the death card works. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's not about death. It's about like.
The death card can be interpreted as
rebirth,
the ending of one thing,
beginning
of another.
Yeah, of course, but of course.
For you, it just means
it's just death, right? It's your mom's the gonna
longest
die.
Longest one liner that they say like three times in also, the fucking movie.
Also, again, it points to the fucking complete nonsensical thing of this movie. All the cards are death cards. Like,
right.
Like, what right. the fuck are you even talking about? Like,
somebody should have pulled the tower, and like, that would have been hilarious because it's like you just jump off a tower.
Another death card. It's a dumbass fucking
movie. They pick the most fucking like obvious ones. It's like the hanged man. Oh, what are they gonna do there? What do you think
they're gonna? She's gonna fucking.
Is she gonna hang, dude?
Well, first. The fucking lady, the whatever lady who's disembodied spirit, she's gonna draw a hangman on the fucking car window.
Oh, the tension, quote unquote tension of that whole scene.
That would make sense for you
right,
to do
right,
from
right.
the 1700s.
Yeah.
Right? And then so there's that, and then yeah, the tension in the car with the fucking, they have the sensor on the car. Yeah, and then like,
which is not how car sensors work.
The jock dude who looks like fucking Drake's cousin, like fucking, he's Scully for the first third of the movie.
Yeah, and then he's like,
he's super fucking skeptical.
Yeah,
and then like he just fucking, as soon as that bridge shit goes down, it's fucking over for him. No more Scully for him.
Well, it's wild, dude. Like he pulls the devil, right? Like that's his like enemy for the movie.
Spoiler: another death card,
another death card. But like his interaction with the devil is like it's off screen. First off,
yeah.
There's no like of the cards, that one's the coolest. Let us sit with that one the most.
Little drag me to hell kind of, yeah.
It's crazy. And then you've got this fucking, like, spoiler alert, this fucking ending that is unbelievable. Like, unfucking believable. Like, so...
Whoa. Okay, you're going there right now? Okay.
Do you want to go somewhere else?
No, you're right. You're right.
So, So, like, from earlier in the film, like, Homeboy's the fool divination is that, like, he's going to come, you know, back and help his friends in an unexpected way. And it's like, the movie is trying to be like, guess what, idiot? It wasn't that unexpected. It was expected. And it's like, yeah,
it's like Drake saying he fed the information to Kendrick. but if you did that, all you did was make us think you were a pedo. Like, that's the movie.
Yeah.
At the end.
And even the beat of that very end moment with him rolling up to reunite with him. It's not like he even saved him. It's fucking Get Out. Like, the end of Get Out.
It's Get Out.
It's Get Out.
It's exactly what I thought of.
It's Get Out, but, like, far more fucked.
Yeah. Well, and then, so I'm going to rewind after this part because you're already here at this part. They get in the fucking car, and they're, you know, so it's like, Paxton! Like, that's no exaggeration. They say it, like, more fucking, worse than that.
What happened to the friend? And, like, oh, she didn't make it. And then they just, like, laugh it off. Okay,
that's cool, dude.
Good to see you, yeah.
She's stuck in the house, dead forever.
And they get in the car, and then fucking, they're talking about fate, and then she's all, fuck fate. Like, off camera.
The credits.
And then it goes to the credits, and someone in the theater's like, what?
My man.
It's a lady. She's like, what? Behind us in the freaking back row. And then, like, and then it comes back. It comes back, and it's like, oh, we got you. And then, like, it's, I got you. Double. As nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you again. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it never was mind. Nothing. I don't got you. Before all that, though, the climactic showdown with the astrologer.
Yeah, so they set up this whole deal where their big idea is to read the astrologer's divination horoscope. To her.
They say, well, they say read her horoscope, which, by the way, your horoscope, like, you know, God, I don't want to do this with this show. No, but, like, the horoscope isn't just the fucking, the whole idea why any of this has any credence whatsoever is because one thing is connected to the next, which is connected to the next, right? So the houses are different times of the year, and there's different energies at different times of the year, different elements,
yeah,
and et cetera, yes, et cetera. So yes, when agreed. She says, read you your horoscope, they're talking about the everything on the tarot cards, like, corresponds to a bunch of all, like, thousands of years of symbolism from a bunch of different schools before it. Like, on fucking, like, the Crowley deck by this fucking, I forget who the artist who did it, but, like, each one of those cards, you could fucking study for a week. And I know it sounds stupid, because why would you? But, like, dude, there's so much shit on those cards.
They say it. They even say it in the movie. The film itself is calling out itself, because in the beginning they're like, oh, you're just saying what you want to say, and it's like, well, yeah, like, because you're not explaining the process of these tarot readings properly,
right.
People have no fucking idea what you're doing. Sounds like you're just reading the horoscopes from the fucking newspaper, man.
Well, like you just said, like, you're seeing what you want to see, which is you could fucking pull the cards and give the reading that you want to read, like you said. Like, because it's fucking, guess what? It's the death card. Guess what, dude? They're all death cards.
with the devil reversed, it's death. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, no, oh. and then exactly, all your cards are reversed. You're in pain. It's like, yep, we already knew that. That's not much divination there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was clear.
Yeah.
We didn't need the cards for that.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. That's very empathic
of you. The hangman upside down. It's death. Well, fuck, then, I'm sorry to tell you, it's death.
And then, like, guess what? When she reads the horoscope of the astrologer, it's death. And she fucking... and like, then when she does that, she dies. Oh, but I gotta point out, dude.
Okay,
please. You gotta admit, dude, it's just like a dark song, dude. But when all the different signs of the zodiac lit up in a circle, dude, that part went hard as fuck, right?
Dude, it's like a shitty Dead by Daylight video gamey ending. Like, stay alive long enough to do a horoscope on the bad guy. Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
Well, that was like, I just need to read her horoscope.
Stay alive long enough, yeah.
And then, you know, one of the people on the Discord said already, they fucking, they coined it, it's terrible.
terrible,
right? And
yeah,
and Horrorscope. It's based on a book called
Horrorscope.
Horrorscope, which is good. All through this movie, Sophia and I though we're looking at each other because there's a Capricorn, right? She's the Capricorn guy. Planet's ruled by Saturn. She's like, that's you. That's you, dude.
I know, and fucking the Paxton, I'm also a Taurus like him. And I was like, God
damn. She's all, who's a Taurus? I'm all, Jacob's a Taurus. She's all, oh, that's Jacob, and he's Asian.
Yeah. Dude, it's literally you, yeah, man.
There's the, aren't you a Libra?
Virgo, man.
Oh, Virgo, that's what it was.
I don't, was there a Virgo in this? In
yeah,
this?
There was.
Of wasn't course, there? Because there's seven of them, so there's enough to...
Well, no, there's 12.
Oh, okay.
That goes with the...
Well, no, because is there 12? Because they kind of overlap a little.
There's 12 is a big number. They got, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, okay, you know, okay. The 12 apostles, the 12... Anyway, we don't want to go into this shit. But if Ryan was here, he'd want to go into it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. 12 divided by
well,
7.
1 plus 2 is 3, dude, and it's the Trinity, dude. But wait a minute. What were we talking about?
Was there a Virgo?
I don't think there was. I always forget if you're a Virgo or a Libra. I think there was a Libra. And I think the Libra was the chick that should have been in Dune 2 instead of Zendaya.
Yeah.
But then there was the Leo, you know, which is fucking Drake's cousin. And that guy fucking sucked. But then, like, him and, you know, the survivors in this are obviously very predictable. What did you think of the PG-13-ness of the kills?
Is it PG-13?
Yeah, PG-13. Yeah. Okay. I felt like for the kills and for PG-13, they took them about as far as they could.
So did I.
I mean, there's some bloody mess that's going on that's like, okay, well, good for you.
Like, they try to ramp up some of the brutality of, like, the ladder scene, you know?
Right.
A lady getting poked to death by a ladder.
Yeah, because of the cutting back and forth.
Yeah.
Right?
And the train was pretty... shocking, quote unquote. You know,
definitely, it was like fucking Spiral, the Book of Saw. You know what I mean?
The Book of Saw. It.
No, that movie had a gross intro. That movie sucks ass, and it's gross.
How do you pull that off? Fuck,
pissed me off when that happens.
Yeah.
This movie's trash, and it's very unpleasant. But this movie is not. This movie's a delight. This movie.
You think so, huh?
No, it's fucking the third worst of the year for me in the genre behind Imaginary and fucking Night Swim.
How is Imaginary better than this?
It's worse than this. It's worse than this, but better because it's worse.
Okay, right? Yeah.
Like you said, I was more entertained scene for scene with Imaginary because it's so bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, this is mostly... Besides being... So you're asking, why is this not as bad as Imaginary?
I can't even explain it, man.
Because... This movie doesn't piss me off as much because Imaginary is fucking with stuff that actually is potentially interesting to me that other movies have done. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking with, like, the imagine, you know, it's fucking with the imagination, dude. Yeah. No, but it's like, it's just fucking, it's so stupid in every single scene. This movie, I fucking got bored and phased out for 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah. Right? We all did from the sound of it, yeah.
Which is, I get it. Like, so I was more entertained with Imaginary because it was so bad constantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this isn't, but, like, fucking, dude, I'm also just like, this is just like a dollar store fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Like, Imaginary had more resources thrown at it. It had fucking, it's more ambitious. It's much more ambitious.
Had more reason to fail, yeah.
It had more reason to fail, and it failed.
Yeah.
And it went to the never ever at the end.
Yeah.
Like, this movie's just like, it has no ideas, yeah. And it runs out of its no ideas very quickly. Imaginary keeps, like, swinging for the fences with new ideas.
It fails so hard, yeah.
Yeah, which is, like, why I think it's better, and it's worse.
It's a bigger swing and it's a bigger miss.
No, Imaginary is fucking terrible. And it's like Blumhouse.
This terrible.
Is
just,
yeah, Imaginary is like the fucking peak bad Blumhouse movie. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of them. But Night Swim is worse than either of these to me.
Wow. Damn.
Night Swim is fucking... Like, you'll be longing to see a fucking tarot card lady fucking smash someone with a ladder in fucking Night Swim.
You gotta set up a projector somehow... And we'll do a Night Swim pool party.
Oh, we can do that.
It's fucking
great. Oh, we can do that for sure.
That shit's on.
And then make the light. Do the light. Make it red.
We can make it red.
There you go.
Night Swim is on Peacock, I think. So for listeners, and I'm recommending it because it's fucking horrible. It's got a 4.7 IMDb. Let's look at imaginary. Let's look at our 4.7 IMDb for imaginary. Tarot just came out, so I have faith that it'll get there. But
we have till our year in review to at least watch it. So.
Yeah, let me see here. Tarot's got a 5, so it's about to go into the 4s.
Mm.
It's been out 1 week and it's already at 5 out of 10.
Hell yeah.
And I agree with that. It's yeah. I'd say it's more like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah. The only way to prevent Tarot from getting worse reviews is to take it out of theaters.
Just remove it all. Remove it
from existence.
Yeah. I mean, the box office drop has to be something ungodly.
Oh yeah, and it didn't have a strong opening. It's made $11 million worldwide so far.
Yeah, one of our Patreon members, Broseph, he saw it opening night, and he was the only one in his theater.
Whew.
Yeah.
Well, in theaters in general, I mean, aside from a few exceptions, notable exceptions, it really hasn't bounced back. You know, it's Dune 2 did well, but again, Dune 2 is like what, at $750 million probably, right, worldwide.
Yeah.
Which is far and away the biggest of the year so far, but we're a long way from fucking billion-dollar blockbusters every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Right? What are you looking at
over here? I'm just looking at this director, what else she's been involved with. She was a producer on Extinction, which is a straight-to-Netflix, like, post-apocalyptic movie.
It's a snow one, right?
Yeah. With Michael Peña. The Expendables 4, she was a producer on. Faster, she was additional crew. She did a podcast series she directed and produced. Man.
Well, I want to tell you, man, this director, Spencer Cohen, not to be mistaken with Joel and Ethan Cohen. Guess what he wrote? He didn't direct it.
Fucking Moonfall.
He wrote fucking Moonfall. Yes. And he was an executive producer. So this guy, he paid for the executive producing credit on Moonfall.
Oh, just like, yeah, he went to moonfall.com/ Patreon.
Who goes to
their podcast? / Patreon and he got that producer credit.
Yeah, dude. That's
but sadly he will not be around for Moonfall 3.
Yeah, dude. If you wrote Moonfall and then your first directing gig is this, like, you're on a fucking roll, dude.
Oh, man.
So, and again, I know it's like fucking we're haters and it's like, what fucking movies have you done? Like, none. Like, but that doesn't change this guy. What's going on here? You know what I mean? There she is again.
Oh, you're in.
She was the best part of the movie.
I mean... was this a mid-COVID thing? Because I'm there's a bunch of...
Well, like you were saying, it's empty. I don't think I saw a single other college student the entire movie.
Not that I think people should be completely maskless in Day of Our Lord, but there is a whole...
Whoa, why not?
Whole bunch of people wearing masks in these production photos. So I wonder if this was like a mid-COVID... thing that just was like, we gotta fucking people aren't going to the theaters, we gotta fucking do something.
Fuck, let's look up the production here.
Jesus,
but it actually, man, came out in 2021. It could have probably made way more money.
Probably.
You're not wrong, dude. But fuck, dude,
budget just... 8 million, and so far it's made 11.9. but keep in mind, half of that goes to the fucking theaters, and you got marketing, which was substantial.
There's a lot of marketing. Yeah, it's easily double. Trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good shit.
Wow, man. Wow, wow. Well, do not recommend this movie in any form. Don't stream it. Don't go to the theater.
And that's not why you listened to this episode, in all likelihood. You knew we were going to trash this movie. So, and we have fun trashing movies sometimes.
I do love it. I do love it.
Me too.
I think I enjoy enjoying movies now more, but man, when we get our little teeth around a shit movie,
a tasty morsel like
just something to get the blood pumping,
yeah,
it's good.
It is good.
I mean, we've had two in a row now.
Yeah,
not for you guys.
Oh yeah, not for them. Yeah, this is. I don't. Who knows what's gonna be next for them?
No, I'm saying you guys like that. You guys like that spider movie.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Look, Jorge. Let's fucking infested and this, obviously, you know, out of curiosity, what's a better movie for you?
Oh, come on. I mean, Infested is a much better movie.
What are you talking about? Two in a row.
But two in a row.
It's not the same ballpark. It's not the same fucking sport, dude. It's not like as fucking as he said in Pulp Fiction, dude. It's not even close. It's not even a fucking... It might as well be a totally different medium, dude. Like, one's a movie and one is, like, fucking tarot. You know? Horoscope. Anyway, we don't know what we're doing next week yet, but we got to figure it out.
We'll talk about it. All right, idiots. Well, that's episode 415. See you next week when we talk about something. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
Bye, Sophia.
This is Jacob, not Batalan.
Not Batalan.
Paxton.
Hey, psh, boy. Oh. I got your attention, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Motherfucker. I got everybody's, all the Filipinos' attention.
I think we broke that shit down.
All three of them.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.